You know, life can be pretty challenging most of the time. I think so, at least. And as we live our lives, whether we want to admit it or not, we need a lot of help along the way. Think about it. We face so many challenges at every turn. And so it becomes important for us to have people in our lives that will get behind us and tell us, you know, you can do it. You can do it, really. I mean, what do people need when they're struggling? They need encouragement, don't they? You know, what do people need to be challenged to do something that might seem to be out of their normal range of ability? Well, they need encouragement, right? And for anyone who has watched little children grow from infancy, remember when they first began to make those attempts at walking? You know, they maybe kind of pushed backwards, got up on the wall and stuff like that. And what do you say? Do we say, come on, dummy, you should be walking by now. You're 6 months old. Get up. You know, we don't do that, right? And we try to encourage them. We say, yeah, you come on, you can do it. Come on, you know, you can do it. And, you know, and following that train of thought, just what do we think that a person who is struggling with their faith needs to hear from other people? Do they need someone to tell them that they are worthless and they're going to hell for messing up? Well, I hope that isn't our approach, you know. Do they need for us to just ignore them and hope that they'll go away? Well, of course not. I hope not. Well, you know, see, we need to be there for them and to help them to search and to help them to find and to help them to get back up and to look to the Lord again. Someone once said, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me, I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I'll not forget you. So just what can change the life of another person? I believe the answer is encouragement. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would look back and see that our lives are simply full of people who have taken the time to encourage us along life's way. And so today, again, we're talking about encouraging others. And it's my hope and prayer that as we talk about things today, that we'll be inspired and encouraged to encourage one another as we grow together in Christ as his body, the church. Well, let's start with a look at the word encourage. It's an interesting looking word, the word encourage. There is a word I see in there. Does everyone else see that word in there? The English word that you see inside courage, encourage, is what? Courage. It's courage, isn't it? Now think about that word. That prefix en means to put in. To put in. So to encourage means to put courage in someone else. Of course, the opposite is true then, isn't it? Discourage means to destroy or to take courage out of someone else. And we don't want to do that. We want to put courage into people. You see, we are designed to need words of encouragement in order to thrive in this world. And God, of course, knows that because he designed you and me to need encouragement in our lives. And that's why God has made sure to provide for us encouragement through his word, through the Bible, and through his son going to the cross to die for our sins for us, and through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Just think about it. We all come to Jesus as damaged goods, right? We are all sin-stained individuals with no hope in the world for redemption on our own. We are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God, right? Romans 3:23. And compared to Jesus who lived sinless and died in our place for us, the burden of our guilt and our shame should overwhelm us so that we proudly turn to the Lord and make confession that Jesus is Lord, like Dan and Randy did last Sunday, and then be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. So really, when we come to Christ, we're damaged goods, if you will. We're damaged by sin. We're broken. And that's why we're all here, though. You see, that's why we're all here. We're here for salvation. We are here because we are broken. We are damaged by sin. We're here to be put back together. We're here to be made whole together. None of us needs to be torn down any more than what we already are. We need to be built up in Christ. We need to be encouraged in Christ. We need to be reminded, yeah, that we're all sinners, but we're forgiven. But hey, we're still sinners. We make mistakes. We're saved, but we're not perfect. And because of that, we are on our journey together. as his body, as his church, and we need to help each other along the way. Sadly, though, over the years, there have been too many well-meaning Christians who have failed to understand that, and for some reason, there have been Christians who have felt that it was their God-given gift to point out the faults and failures of others. For example, I've heard of this one guy who came to his preacher after he preached on the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, and he said, "Preacher, I just figured out that I have only one talent." Curious, the preacher asked him, "Well, what's your talent?" The man said, "I have the gift of criticism." Well, the preacher thought about that for a moment, and then he replied, "You know, the Bible tells us that the guy who had one talent, he went out and buried it. I think that's what you ought to do with your talent." And you know, there are various places where we can find gifts listed in the Bible. And unless I'm mistaken, there's no such thing as the gift of criticism in the Bible. Fault finding is not a Christian virtue. Criticism is not a gift from God. So if it's not from God, then it must come from somewhere, right? So who is criticism a gift from? It seems to me it's Satan. Helps to cause division within the church. It's a gift from the evil one because that's exactly what Satan does. He accuses us, you see. As a matter of fact, over in Revelation 12:10, we're told that Satan accuses us day and night. We don't need anyone else to do the job. He's doing it for us. You know, Satan already has it all covered. He's the great criticizer. Satan's already the great fault finder, and he's already the one who just loves to remind us of our failures. And so, those who simply love to criticize others rather than encourage them are, well, his children, it seems like. And such people are just doing nothing but tearing others down rather than building them up. So if people can't find a way to build someone up with whatever criticism they might happen to have, otherwise known as constructive criticism, then it's probably best not to say it. So how do we go about encouraging others in the Lord's church? How do we make our membership meaningful in the Lord's church? Well, let's start by really trying to understand what it means to encourage. I think one of the best ways to do that is to look at the Old Testament, what it means to encourage. Again, we already said that our word in the dictionary today means to put courage into someone. But looking at the biblical use helps us to understand more about what God wants us to do to encourage someone else and what that involves. So in the Old Testament, the word kozak is the word that's usually translated as encourage. And in the Old Testament, that word means strengthen. It means to strengthen someone. For example, back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 35, when the Lord is talking to Moses about going into the promised land, the fact that Moses isn't going to make it, the Lord says to Moses, "But your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it." And Moses should know more than anyone else that leading God's people is a challenge. He needs to encourage Joshua. And then later in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, the Lord reminds Moses again, "But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." So here we really see two things, don't we? First, that encouragement means to strengthen. He's not just to say, "Hey, you could do it." He's saying, "I'm going to help you to do it. I'm going to strengthen you," you see. It's to strengthen someone else. And second, we see that a good part of good biblical leadership is to encourage or to strengthen future leaders who will lead God's people. Something we all need to do. Okay, now, later though, in Israel's history, much later on actually, in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we read of another use of this word, encourage, in the Old Testament that we want to look at. It's when the good king Hezekiah had this to say in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 22. The Bible says that Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites who showed good understanding of the service of the Lord. "For the 7 days they ate their assigned portion and offered fellowship offerings and praised the Lord, the God of their fathers." So it seems clear, really, in looking at this usage, that we should encourage those who serve the Lord. And that that means everybody, doesn't it? It means the song leaders, those who prepare communion, those who serve on the Lord's table, those who do announcements, those who lead in prayer, those who run the media back. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Bob, when you get the opportunity. Thank you, those who are willing to volunteer to help that out, okay? To those who vacuum the floors, to those who take out the trash. And well, really, when you get down to it, it's simply we need to encourage each other, everybody, because we all serve the Lord together. Now, over a few chapters, staying in the book of 2 Chronicles, this would be 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 6 and 7, we read this. The text says, "He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words. He said, 'Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him, for there is a greater power with us than with him.'" Of course, we're talking about God being with us, right? You know, I think about some of the rough times that our nation has been going through recently, you know, shootings at schools, at theaters, at churches, in people's homes. I think about the economic issues, the morality issues, and the list goes on and on and on, no matter what. You know, no matter what goes on, though, you know, no matter what we might want to say or think or believe, that stuff happens. It does happen. It does happen. We can't bury it all under some rock and pretend like it's not going on, because it is. But you see, real encouragement doesn't deny that stuff. It acknowledges the fears that people have as real, just like we read in 2 Chronicles 32. It acknowledges those fears as real, but we don't leave it there, because then we are to embolden those people that are afraid, and then strengthen them and encourage them despite those fears. Without a doubt, economics aren't great in our country. Sure, it's hard to imagine going anywhere really without the fear of being shot at by somebody. It's just unfortunately the way things are. But if we are to live our lives for God and walk like Jesus and share our faith, we have to stand up and step out and be different for Jesus, borrowing the theme from our recent vacation Bible school, and encourage each other, to strengthen each other to do the same. Well, that seems to be the meaning that we get from the Old Testament. Strengthen, to encourage is to strengthen. Well, what about the New Testament meaning? Well, in the New Testament, the word parakaleo is translated 21 times as encourage, and that word happens to mean comfort. Comfort. Now, if the Greek word parakaleo sounds somewhat familiar to us, that may be because it's used elsewhere in the New Testament with some slightly different meanings. But at its root, it means to call alongside, to come alongside someone. And sometimes it's translated as comfort, sometimes as consolation, encouragement, or exhortation. Over in John 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit is called our parakletos, or our comforter. It's the same word that's used here for encourage. So we are to be an encourager to others. We are to be an encouragement to others. We are to be a comfort to others. Now, encouragement in the Greek is an active word, okay? And as a Christian, being an encourager means more than just cheerleading. Yay, you know? It means that we're actively involved in helping someone to find the courage that he or she needs to keep on keeping on. To keep on keeping on. It's an active thing, you see. Over in 1 Thessalonians that Quentin so well looked at the Sunday night before last in his lesson here at the building, we want to take a look and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 through 15. And I'm going to turn there and read that for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 through 15. Text says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. So, in making our membership meaningful, we so desperately want to be encouraged by others, don't we? From this text, I want to notice just a few things, just the intentionality of encouraging words in this passage. 1 Thessalonians really is a book of encouragement. If you look in a concordance, you see encouragement shows up in this book a number of times. Here we see it all summarized nicely, where we're told to intentionally encourage people, to encourage one another, and to build each other up. And in that process, we are to show respect. We are to encourage the timid and to help the weak. And all the while we're doing that, we're to be patient with everyone. So in making our membership meaningful, we are to encourage one another, because we all know ourselves, we also desperately want to be encouraged, right? We want someone to encourage us. But, you know, we have to remember, too, that we have to encourage others. We're called to encourage others. Now, since encouragement is very important to us and to God, I figured it might be good to look at a few practical ways for us to encourage each other. So let me suggest just a few ways that we can encourage each other. These are some ways, again, how we can encourage each other. First, obviously, we need to be encouragers. And some people might have trouble with that because they're not used to doing stuff like that. But I think it could start out really simple by learning how to say thank you. I know we teach that to our kids. Mind your P's and Q's, you know, say please and thank you. But sometimes it seems like this generation anymore is all about please, 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 and forgetting to say thank you. So we need to get in the habit of saying thank you a lot to other people, because that encourages people. That encourages people. It tells them that what they did is worth something. It's also nice if we say good job every now and then. Good job. Good job, you know. But for someone who isn't used to encouraging others, even such small talk can be a bit of a challenge. So we need to get into the habit of encouraging others. Remember Hebrews 10:25, right? Where some had gotten into the habit of not attending the assemblies of the Lord's church. Well, the opposite of that was to get into the habit of parakaleoing. You know, that's my bad Greek English, if you will, you know, for us to get into the habit of encouraging each other. By getting into the habit of coming alongside each other in the assembly and being a strength and a comfort for each other in the Lord's body. So once we get into the habit of encouraging each other, it says, okay, well, now what do I do besides thank you and good job? Well, first of all, encouraging words sure are nice. So we need to keep those up. Ephesians 4:29 comes to mind, where we are to encourage one another and not to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We're to say good things to each other, to encourage them, to build them up, you see. And back in Proverbs, which, by the way, our class is still going strong, Sunday morning in the auditorium if you'd like to participate. Back in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, we see how our encouraging, positive words help others. Proverbs 12:25 says, "An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up." Don't you want to be cheered up? I do, amen. You know, we want to cheer up other people too. So we say encouraging words, kind words to each other. So in encouraging one another, we say kind words to each other. And we also, what? We want to encourage one another by simply recognizing what God has done through them. That's kind of like thank you and good job, but a little bit different. Over in Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes about the encouragement he had received from others to the church of Galatia. Here's what he says. He says in Galatians 2, verses 7 through 9, that on the contrary, they saw that I am entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, when they recognized the grace given to me. Now, we really looked at that, so we can go ahead and introduce this man, Joseph. Joseph in Acts 4:36. So who is this guy Joseph? Well, it's Barnabas. It's Barnabas because that's what they called him. His name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas. Kind of like Judas, and they called him the betrayer, except this is so much better. Because in Acts 4:36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, the apostles called Barnabas. And the text tells us that means son of encouragement. What a way to be remembered. It's not, you know, Judas the betrayer. It's, hey, it's Joseph. He's the encourager. Don't you want to be known as an encourager? Hey, there goes Mr. Encouragement. There goes Miss Encouragement. Hey, that's a great way to be known. He's noted not as Joseph anywhere in the Bible, really, except here. He's Barnabas. He's the encourager. Either way, Joseph was recognized by others by the godly works that he had done in encouraging others. What a wonderful way to remember someone, and a way to be remembered, too. So as encouragers, we say kind words, and we recognize godly works. And going back to what we've already mentioned, we thank others. We really need to thank others. Over and over again, looking back over the epistles, you could just do a cursory glance at all the books that were written to different churches. We'll see that Paul thanks God for all the Christians at Rome and at Corinth and at Ephesus and at Philippi and at Colossae and at Thessalonica and at Galatia. He thanks individuals personally too, over and over again, like Timothy and Titus and Philemon. So if Paul does it, I think it's good for us to do too. We can encourage each other so much when we just say thank you. Thank God for each other and how they have blessed us. Simply put, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. We're all in this together, you see. God chose us all. Thank each other for being a part of the Lord's church. So as encouragers, again, we say kind words, and we recognize godly works of others. We thank others, and we believe in them. We believe in them. Acts 15. In Acts 15, the Apostle Paul had some tough decisions to make in regards to bringing along a young man by the name of John Mark. And in the end, Paul and Barnabas, who were good friends, I mean, Barnabas is Mr. Encouragement, decided to part ways because Barnabas wanted to go with John Mark and Paul didn't. Paul went with Silas. You see, Paul didn't believe in John Mark at that time, but Barnabas, Mr. Encouragement, did. Now, who was right? Well, it's hard to say, but I tell you what, later on, maybe because of Barnabas's belief in John Mark, we read this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, that Paul had a slight change of heart, if you will, regarding John Mark. Because here's what he said in 2 Timothy 4:11. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Amazing, isn't it? Paul sees John Mark as helpful to him in his ministry. And this is the same young man before that he didn't want around him earlier. Perhaps it was Barnabas' belief in John Mark that encouraged Paul to believe in his abilities too, and helped to encourage John Mark to be a better man for the Lord. And we all know that John Mark must have been an encouragement to have the Apostle Paul want him to help him in his ministry. I mean, if someone wrote about someone else, say, hey, you know, go ahead and have Bob help the Apostle Paul in his ministry. Yeah, you know, go have John. Yeah, I mean, I'd jump at that chance because this is the Apostle Paul, you know. Wow, what an encouragement. Again, as encouragers, we say kind words, and we recognize good works, we thank others, we believe in them, and we speak well of them, which sounds like kind words, but it's different, okay? Follow me on that. We need to speak well of other people. The Apostle Paul had some very encouraging words for the church at Corinth. Think about that. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul has some encouraging words for the church at Corinth. He says this in 2 Corinthians 9:2. He writes, "For I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them into action." Just that one verse, think about that. Paul has been bragging on the church at Corinth to others about their potential in giving. He's been bragging on them. Now, Paul could have went to other churches and been all critical and negative, because we know a whole lot of things are wrong with the church at, church at Corinth. They could have said things like, you know, they're divisive and they're selfish and they're immature, and the list could go on and on and on and on. But Paul didn't talk that way about the church at Corinth to others. Paul instead told other Christians that the church at Corinth is eager to help and to give, that they've got potential, you see. And just look at the results. We're told that the Macedonians were stirred into action. And all because Paul spoke well of them to others rather than choosing to say all the dirt that he could possibly think up. And that encouraged them into action. So that seems like a lesson for us too. We need to speak well of others. I have just one more that we want to mention this morning, and there are many others, of course, but one more about encouraging today. And that is that we are to encourage others simply by listening to them, by listening to them. Remember James 1:19. I'm very mindful of this particular verse, especially because of Dave and Charlotte's work with the Listening Lab, and maybe someday we'll do that again soon. But anyway, James 1:19, of course, says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You see, God in his infinite wisdom has given us two ears and one mouth. It's best to remember that. Because it means that we are to listen, what, twice as much as we are to speak. You know, everyone has a lot going on in their lives. Everyone does, you know. And we all want to be heard out. We all want someone to just listen to us. And so we need to make it a point to listen to others. And that can be hard sometimes because we so eagerly want to share what's going on, but we need to be willing to listen to others if we're ever hope to have someone listen to us. It's such an encouragement to know that there is someone there to simply listen. And as encouragers then, we are to what? We are to say kind words, we're to recognize godly works, we're to thank others, we're to believe in them, we're to speak well of them, and we're to listen to them. And of course, again, like I said, now we could preach all day on this particular subject, but you'd be mad at me for missing lunch. But you know, there are many, many, many ways to encourage others. You know, anything from, cards, gift awards, simple recognition, no matter the method, encouraging someone, you know, in something is something that Christians all should be about. You know, we all can encourage. But where can we encourage again? Well, obviously, everywhere we're at, right? We can encourage everywhere we're at, like at our home. You know, we need to encourage each other in our families. We need to express our appreciation for all that our spouse is and does. And we can compliment our children about something without any comment about doing better, you know. And we can all encourage someone at work, like our boss, by thanking him or her, believe it or not. Thank our boss, you know, for handling things well. And we can also express appreciation for our coworkers and anyone that might be under us. Because this goes back really to our 1 Thessalonians 5 passage, right? Simply by recognizing their progress, apart from any sort of, you know, ideal goals. You know, they've at least been working on things, so recognize that. And of course, we can encourage someone within the Lord's church, because that's really what it's all about, right? Both in the assembly here and when we're apart. You see, we can pray for one another, can't we? And then mention it in their presence. Hey, you know, I prayed for you, you know, or maybe by card. I just love, actually, what we do on the Thursday morning Bible class and Kurt's class here at the building, because we send out cards periodically to different people and try to encourage them and to say that we've prayed for them. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to do that. And if you've never done that for someone else, give it a shot. You'd be amazed at how encouraging that is. We also can listen to each other when someone shares with us and respond with a summary of what they said, showing that we listened. Important thing to do in the Lord's church. And when someone does something well again, then we should let them know that we noticed that. You see, as long as the Lord's church has the potential to improve, and trust me, our potential for improvement is infinite, just as it is for growth and for love, then we need to be serious about encouraging others everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. Now, as we wrap things up, I wanted to go back to 1 Thessalonians again, back to chapter 5. And this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. And it's sort of the top part of what we were looking at before. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. The text says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know that very well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should be a surprise to you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." You see, God tells us here, right, that the day of Christ's return, that the day of judgment is coming at any time, and we don't know when. So we need to be ready. And since we belong to the day, he says that we need to be self-controlled about that, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet, which means that as a Christian, hey, we don't have to worry about the judgment, but instead we need to keep on living for Jesus no matter what the world says, and sharing Jesus no matter what they say to us about not sharing Jesus, and keep on loving like Jesus even though the world shows us something different. And we are to encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact we are doing. You see, we shouldn't allow any one of us to just stand all alone in a wicked world that's trying to take us with it to the pits of hell. The sinfulness of the world can harden us, and the sinfulness of this world will try to drag us down. So we need to take that seriously and encourage each other so that we don't let that happen. Again, we said to encourage is to strengthen and to comfort one another. It's to build each other up. And as encouragers, we say kind words and we recognize godly works and we thank others and we believe in them and we speak well of them. We listen to them. And we do this encouraging everywhere we go, everywhere we go. And we are especially to encourage each other in the faith, to remain faithful until Jesus comes. And we are to encourage the lost to come along with us so that they won't be lost. And in the process, we are to remind everyone that our ultimate encouragement comes from God's word and the Bible's commands and promises. We stand on the promises of God. There is nowhere else in this world where we can find the words of life other than from the word of God. And God has given it to us to share with others. And so this morning, let's encourage each other with those words. Let's make our membership meaningful in the Lord's church and continue to encourage each other all the more as the day approaches. Today, of course, you're encouraged that if maybe you're not a Christian today, if maybe you're not baptized into Christ, to make that decision today, to come forward and to confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, and upon that decision to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, Romans 6:4. You'll be on your way and heaven bound. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be saved and you'll be a part of his church, his body. Maybe there's someone here with a prayer request that wasn't mentioned earlier or praise that they'd like to share. Whatever the need may be, if you need to come forward this morning, you're encouraged to do that now as we all stand and sing the song that Quentin has selected for us.